Goodness. There, it was a story about someone leaving a box of things, items, to someone. We didn't know who that someone was, but it's a box of items. It says, do not open the box. But if you open the box, you will see that it is yourself. It would say all kinds of, and it would, so, and then when you open the box, 7 individuals would come and help you rearrange everything into the place. So we were like, this is it. This is kind of the spine of, or the story we're going to tell. We don't know how we're going to do it. We don't know who these characters are. But we know that there are 7 terrors, and there's a box, and there's a person who gives a box to someone else.
That's very theatrical.
Yes. So with just those 2 pieces, we were kind of launched. And then as we were going through all the poems, we would read a poem, and we'd say, this sounds like it belongs to that terror. You know, and we would drop it kind of in the basket of that terror. And we would start building a collection of poems we felt spoke to that character or could be spoken from that character's perspective. And that's how we started building each of the terrors and building the poet and building the apprentice. And because we're poets, we're poet playwrights, as was August Wilson, a poet playwright, as was William Shakespeare, a poet playwright. We were like, you know what, let's really just try to investigate what the different language of different generations are. What's our language? Who were our mentors, right? So if we have a poet and apprentice, who were our mentors, and how do we kind of speak from wherever we are as poets and say, if somebody left us something, or if we left someone something to someone. I mean, universes, we've been in existence for 21 years already, going on 22. And, you know, we're going to have something to leave behind at the end of this journey, you know? And who is it that will receive that? Who will open it? We're going to, obviously, we're leaving things, you know, which with every play. So it was that conversation even with ourselves. When we pass away, what are we leaving behind? What's our legacy? And that's what the play became. It became about an individual's search for their legacy, you know, what do they leave behind? What have they dealt with in their life? What did they not deal with in their life? And how do they move forward? It was a simple story that any man who is alive, any woman who is alive.
So August Wilson is not a character in this.
No.
But
no.
It is his words.
August's poems are sprinkled throughout the play. And they're what I call the chakras of the play. You know, there's a body that universe is constructed. And then there's an energy that lives within the play. And those are August's words that are kind of helping inspire every moment, every trigger moment. And then universes, we would create songs, and we would create our own poetry, and we would create dialogue. So it's a collaboration. He is the 4th playwright.
Yeah, I was going to say, it sounds like a huge collaboration.
Yes.
And I was going to ask you about music and movement, because that's a very big aspect to the work that you do. Mm-hmm. You want to talk about some of that?
The movement, the music, well, it starts with the music. I guess the music is a mixture of what we all do. So it's a mix of jazz, hip-hop, blues, folk music. It's all kind of mixed in together with the composition by Universe's Broken Chord, and Toshi Regan, who's also a composer. And so out of that collection of music, the movement was inspired from that, and the choreographer is Byron Easley, who choreographed The Wiz here, Lauren E.J. Hamilton, as his assistant. So between that collaborative group and us and the actors, the style, the aesthetic of the piece took form and shaped.
So is that what we can expect in unison?
Some people who have seen Universe's works before will see that we've grown as a company, and working with Oregon Shakespeare Festival, we've learned how to use everyone's talents better for their own abilities, so everyone has an equal moment to shine on the stage, which is a very good thing for the audience to be able to embrace every moment of the play with its own energy. But yes, we are keeping a lot of the well-known Universe's energy in this play.
This poetry has never been heard before. And he says it even in the PBS special, like you hear him talk about it. I'm a poet, I was a poet first, you know. We know his story, how, you know, he had to be self-educated. He had to, you know, these were the way that he could communicate best when he started off, and then before he went to theater. So I think that the world would want to know who August Wilson was. And even though this is not a biographical piece, every poet writes from their most personal place and from their most creative ideas, from their most their deepest curiosity. So I think that if we wanted to really kind of, that's something that we discovered when we were exploring his poetry, is that, you know, this is the guy who wrote all those plays, but he's so much more than that. You know, and he had so many dreams and so many ideas and so, you know, the way his style of writing was shocking sometimes to us. And it's nothing like the plays. So I would assume that people are going to want to know, who was that? Who was that young man before he became the August Wilson that we all think we know? And who could that possibly have been? We'll never fully know, right? Because he's not here to set us straight. But we can get ideas. And as poets, we know how when we write our stuff, when we write our material, we know that what we're putting into it. So we can only imagine what he was putting into it when he was writing his pages.
And that was Mildred Ruiz Sapp, William Ruiz, and William Sapp of Universes talking to me in Ashland about their show Unison. The Oregon Shakespeare Festival presents the world premiere of Unison, based on August Wilson's poetry, created by Universes, in their artist in residence there. And the show is in the Angus Bomer Theater through October 28th. You can find out more at osfashland.org. And we do have tickets to offer by calling your station right now, your community radio station with your membership at 1-877-500-5266.
I have dreamed thee too long, never seen thee or touched thee, but known thee with all of my heart. Half a prayer, half a song, thou hast always been with me, though we have been always apart. Dulcinea, Dulcinea.
And we're listening to a song called Dulcinea from the musical Man of La Mancha, sung by Richard Kiley in the Broadway production. Oh, gosh, it's such a beautiful, beautiful musical. Man of La Mancha runs at Portland Opera for 4 performances only at the Keller Auditorium in June. We have tickets for your membership at KABU at 1-877-500-5266. I don't know if she can sing, but, you know, if she could, one actress I'd love to see play Dulcinea is actress Lauren Modica. She's a Portland native actress who got the call last year to work at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. You know, that's the dream of every actor, including me, who grows up in Oregon, to be able to work at Oregon Shakespeare Festival. Lauren Modica is currently performing at OSF in Henry IV, Part 1.
I think that it's so beautiful to view that story through a more intimate and personal lens. I think that you catch, especially with our cast, with our Hal and Hotspur and Falstaff and King, that you see the eyes, the eye contact and the moments and the language that is communicated through simply physical contact and facial expressions. You catch all of it. None of it is lost.
What roles do you play?
I play, in Part 1, I play Glendower, who's a Welsh warlord. And I also play Peto, who is one of Hal and Falstaff's, like, crew.
So is it a contemporary version?
It is. We are set in the modern day. And I think it works beautifully. And I think that watching especially high school students and student groups who come and watch the show, the way their faces light up, because it's not a mystery. I think that our directors and designers and fellow performers have unlocked what can often be like, oh, Shakespeare, like, oh, a history play, 3 hours of, you know, verse, oh, man. And instead, you see people's faces again in that intimate venue, and they hear and feel everything. You know, there's a real human thread that runs through every performance that I've seen.
You know, I was one of those high school students, and so was Lauren Modica, who traveled to Ashland to the Oregon Shakespeare Festival and was so inspired by the performances and the amazing productions that you can see almost year-round, 10 months out of the year, until October 28th anyway. You can see Henry IV Part 1 with actress Lauren Modica, who's I'm going to feature a little bit more later, at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. And we have a pair of tickets to offer to Oregon Shakespeare Festival. You know, they have more than 10 plays running at the same time quite often, to offer for your membership. So let's check in with membership Central. And call now, 1-877-500-5266.
Indeed. Please call us. I'm Becky. I'm here with Joe.
Call.
We're on this incredible show. And if you support local arts programming, call right now, 877-500-5266. We're looking to supply you with some beautiful tickets to the Oregon Shakespeare Festival in Ashland for $120.
Well, the tickets aren't that beautiful, but the shows are.
I bet the tickets are pretty beautiful.
Well,
and also, how
nice.
Are you going to know if you don't call right now to get them? 877-500-5266 for $120 minimum pledge. That's $10 a month. You can get it very easily on the phone. We have smiling, happy people back here to tell you about how to become a KABU member. And I'm here to tell you that cultural programming on KABU is the best here in Portland. If only there was a Best of Portland thing for people to vote
well,
for, because
the best,
we do it more.
Virtually the only.
Yes. So you support this beautiful, wonderful programming. If you call right now, it'll brighten everyone's day, especially Dime, who puts so much time and amazing effort into getting live local people here on the radio to talk about their productions. 877-500-5266.
You know, Becky, Dime here, you know, you talk about the 50th anniversary of KABU coming up. Well, you know, this year's going to be my 20th anniversary later on this year.
Yes.
Yeah, because of, you know, volunteering, doing the show, you know. So why do I do it? Because I believe that arts programming is important. I believe that arts and culture can help save, you know, the spirit and save your life and give you inspiration to go another day, you know, to keep sallying forth, because we need hope right now. We need so much hope. And often going to see a performing arts event in Portland, you know, with live people, with community, you know, there's such a community feeling to every single event that you go to. You know, we're offering Portland Center Stage tickets. We're also offering, you know, tickets to Portland Opera to see this exquisite musical production at of Man of La Mancha that will, I guarantee you, you'll feel inspired and you'll be singing The Impossible Dream.
Yes.
You know, so give us the dollar amounts for those, for the value and, you know, how much that you can pick those tickets up for.
For Man of La Mancha, those are for a minimum donation of $300. So call 877-500-5266. No, I got
it's
it. It's numbers. We have so many numbers to tell you. If you want those tickets, they're $300 donation to KABU. If you would like to get Oregon's Shakespeare Festival tickets, those are $120. So please call 877-500-5266 for the singular opportunity to not only invest in a cultural institution, but to get tickets to these amazing events.
877-500-5266.
And I'm Dime Roberts with the you know, we're closing in on the 1 hour stage and studio. There's so many wonderful plays to see this season at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. I enjoyed Mojada, Hannah and the Gazebo, and Unison. But OSF is also known for inventive Shakespeare. Actress Lauren Modica, who is a Portland native, by the way, tells us about the production she's currently in Henry IV, Part 1.
We have such an incredibly diverse cast. We have a fantastic actress playing Hotspur, and, you know, myself and several other performers are all playing roles that are traditionally male. It's not made a big deal of, and yet it's very unmistakably, undeniably, we bring ourselves to it, and we bring different interpretations of what it means to be a woman playing that role.
Well, it makes it more exciting to me because it's a lot more fresh.
Well, I think especially when you compare it to life, you see women in these roles in the real world. And so to see that mirrored back from on stage using this historical text, it makes total sense. It seems the most obvious and yet the most fresh and unexpected thing. And that's such a beautiful blend.
Are you in other roles later on in the season too?
Yes. In part two, I play Pito again, and I play Silence, and then I play Prince Mowbray. And so I'm very excited to tackle one role that I'm pretty familiar with and that I love playing, and then two new ones.
You're pretty good at multiple roles too.
I love it. I'm so flattered that you say that. I think if it's true, it's simply because of necessity. I've been lucky enough to be plunked into tracks or shows that require doubling or sometimes more. To me, it's just like it's bonus after bonus after bonus, because who doesn't? You get to stretch. It's you get to stretch. You get to try. You get to be different things and different people and different facets of yourself. And so I love it. Anytime that I get to play more than one character, I'm thrilled. At the same time, I think the only trade-off is that sometimes you don't get to go on the full through line arc with the audience, and that's something that I think all actors crave, to go on that total beginning, middle, end, or maybe even beginning, middle, unknown ride with the audience.
Have you always wanted to be an actor?
I think secretly for a long time. It's definitely something that, especially in my early 20s and college years, to put it bluntly, especially at that time before diversity and inclusion sort of bloomed furiously within the theatrical community, any sort of artistic community, in life in general, there was sort of the standard: if you didn't fit a certain mold, you were told, sometimes quite bluntly, even by people who knew you and cared for you and believed in you, that there really wouldn't be a place for you outside of, say, Scholastic theater or, you know, hobby theater. And so I definitely had some very blunt advice given to me, and I think that it was meant in good faith, but it was so discouraging that I stepped away from theater for a long time and focused on sociology and journalism, and couldn't stay away from auditing those theater classes, and couldn't stay away from trying out for everything. And I went through a period of time in college where I auditioned for every college play and for 2 years and didn't get a single part. You know, that's a big message to send. And then I took a break, and then I came back to that same college, and there were new professors, and I ended up getting a series of roles that changed, one of them being Falstaff in Henry IV at Portland Community College, directed by Gretchen Eisnogel, and it changed everything. It's important to allow people to see what they can do and to find the soft spots and to shore up the weak spots and to gain courage. And so after a series of really wonderful experiences there, I stood back and I said, you know, if you're going to go for this, then you need to do it now. And that was about 5 years ago. And I just sort of started doing whatever would have me, and in Portland, and have been lucky enough to work my way up to working at so many lovely spaces and theaters and groups, and now I'm here.
Well, look, I'm sure it's a lot of hard work, because, I mean, every woman of color, every person of color, any person with any kind of disabilities or does not fit the mold, for me, it's like a weight thing. If you don't fit that mold, you are totally discouraged, as a way to help you. It's like, oh, well, I don't want you to get hurt, but I'm going to hurt you to tell you that you don't have a shot in hell.
Right. And it's one of those things where you're like, I don't know which is the bigger sting. And I say this as someone who hears no every day. I say this as someone who, I mean, even in my own eyes, it's been something that I've thought of a lot about recently, because I think that as young people, we're all given a message by the world. And that message is how the world sees you and what you should expect and how you will be treated and how you operate within that gaze. And unfortunately, as you were saying, if you don't fit the mold, life in general, let alone performing, let alone any sort of creative pursuit, is dictated to you. It said you operate within the confines of this gaze, within these are your boundaries. The horrible part is that you're taking away so much agency from someone. You're taking away their right to the hard knocks, to the no's. Everyone experiences on this path, and you're giving them so much baggage. I don't say this in any sort of like stoic way, but there was a period of time where I was like, well, there's no way that I'll ever be able to act, because this person who has more experience than me is telling me no, not just no, you didn't get the part, or no, we don't have a space for you in this whatever, but no one ever will. And to take that prominent of a space up in someone's life, especially at a formative age, is so damaging. And even if it's done out of love or out of concern, I really don't think anyone has the right to say that. Because for myself, it definitely built up that a little bit of that, well, I'll show you. But I also know that that came after years of feeling dejected and depressed, and like I had somehow brought this curse, sort of this yoke of shame around me and around what I really felt drawn to do and what enriched my life and what I hope I brought joy to others with. If you're any sort of other, you're already aware of it. You're already aware of it. There's nothing that anyone can say that is somehow going to make you suddenly go, what are you talking? Like that professor, when he said that to me, there was no part of me that said, what are you talking about? You know, I'm a 4'8", half black dwarf woman, and you're saying I'm going to have an uphill climb in American theater? My God, you know, it's so I'm of the mind that we're all going to be told no endless times. We're all going to be rejected. We're all going to face crushing disappointments. We're all going to have all of that anyway. Why prematurely load that on anyone's shoulders?
So what do you say to people going through that right now, young people especially, who don't fit the mold? What do you tell them?
I would say, oh goodness, that you know deep down that if you want to do this, you will find a way to do it, and you will find a way to continue doing it. For me, that was doing, after I came back to college, doing community college productions for years and learning on my feet that way. That was looking, you know, at every resource I could find in Portland to try and find any open audition. That was doing the research to find out when the larger houses or theaters had their general auditions. That was figuring out someone to take my very first headshot, you know, and not beating myself up because I was still learning as I was doing. So if someone's telling, you know, a young performer, you can't do this because fill in the blank, they don't know. They don't know. They're not fortune tellers. I believe that, as with anyone who told me that, they're coming from a place of concern, perhaps influenced by their own path. But just because someone says something to you doesn't mean you have to accept it. It's not saying that because this person told you, oh, you'll never be hired because you are this or you look like this. They don't know what's going to happen 10 years from now, 10 months from now, 10 days from now, 10 minutes from now. And keep going. And it's okay to take breaks. It's okay to practice self-care. It's okay to remove yourself from environments where you feel like all you're hearing is how you're wrong before you've even tried. And, you know, you're not wrong. And so
that was actress Lauren Modica at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, and she's going to be in Henry IV Part 1 and Part 2 at Oregon Shakespeare Festival until October 28th. And here's the description. OSF's journey through Shakespeare's history tetralogy continues after the acclaimed sold-out run of Richard II, and so they continue the political intrigues, machinations, and battles of early 15th century England with a healthy dose of Falstaff and comedy thrown in. So that is Henry IV Part 2 and Part 1 and 2, and that's at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. And we, you know, if you missed any of this interview or this special one-hour show, you can visit kbu.fm/stageandstudio. I'm Dimae Roberts, Stage and Studio. And we have a pair of tickets to offer to Oregon Shakespeare Festival as well as to Portland Center Stage. But I have to say, my friend Sandra DeHellen, who has been a longtime KBOO supporter, moved to San Diego, and she called in from San Diego to pick up a pair of tickets to the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. And I just want to say thank you, Sandra. Thank you so much for your support through the years. And I'd like to see more names and hear more phones calling at this point, because we are at the end of this one-hour special edition of Stage and Studio, or towards the end here. Please show your support to KBOO and socially relevant arts coverage on Stage and Studio by calling now to become become a member or renew your membership and pick up some tickets while you're at it. And we're going to talk more about it here at KABU, 1-877-500-5266.
I'd like to say that Sandra was joined by Doug, who is renewing here in North Portland.
Yay!
If you would like us to ring that bell, give us a call, 877-500-5266. I'm Becky. I'm here with Joe.
I'm Joe.
We're on this incredible show.
Becky.
We're here together because we are passionate about community radio and this beautiful cultural programming. Call right now because you value the expression of the arts, that you appreciate KABU as a cultural haven as we talk about these incredible productions. 877-500-5266. We need two of you to call to get tickets at $120 minimum pledge. We've got tickets to Oregon Shakespeare Festival in Ashland. We have tickets to Constellations here in Portland at the $120 minimum pledge level. Those are both happening, and you can get them by calling 877-500-5266 right now and become a member of KABU. We're an incredible institution, just like these other wonderful theater companies. They show their support by providing tickets, so join them in supporting KABU. 877-500-5266. I can't think of a better way to show your appreciation for arts, culture, and music programming here in Portland. We do more of it than anyone else. So if you call 877-500-5266, you'll help us continue bringing that information, the information on theater showings, the information on new films, by calling 877-500-5266.
Becky and Joe, how much do we have left to make our goal?
$220, y'all. That's only two
more callers.
Two callers getting two pairs of tickets.
Yes, and let me make it clear. It's 877-500-5266 or online, KBOO.FM. Do that now. You'll feel so good, and we'll be happy too.
And Becky, they can when they go online at KABU.FM, they can also request those tickets, can't they?
I believe so. Yes, indeed. So you have many different ways in order to get tickets to these amazing productions, all of them at the $120 pledge level, which is $10 a month. Super easy and a wonderful, sustainable way to ensure that KABU's operations are ongoing. We're looking for you to become a member because this is part of that activism, right? If you appreciate arts and culture, call now, 877-500-5266. Show Dime your support of this incredible 20 years
almost
long,
not
almost,
quite yet
almost there. Like, this program has been on for an incredible amount of time and highlighting artists and theater companies and productions.
It'll actually be next year, but
yeah, still
I'm
like
thinking
19
ahead.
Years
I'm thinking that, yeah, during 50th anniversary of KABU. You know, I was just thinking that $10 a month, it's sort of like KABU is our Netflix, isn't it? Because you can go online and listen to any show. We are on demand.
Yes,
you know, we are. This
true.
Show will be on later this afternoon, you know, or actually we'll be on, you know, probably in about 20 minutes. So you know, we are the Netflix of your, you know, of community radio here, folks. You know, you can tune in anytime and hear our shows, and that's not that much of a commitment for your Netflix of radio.
In fact, switch it out.
1-877-500-5266. Yeah. Support the arts. Support, you know, the programming that we do here. You know, we do. You know, I try to present socially relevant arts, you know, on stage and studio. There's always a message to something. You know, there's always a mission, you know, to a lot of the people that I select to be on the air because you know, it means so much to me right now, especially in this time that we're living in where nothing seems to make sense, to have, you know, at least a little bit of sense, you know, in the form of an art form, you know, in the way that we can express ourselves to talk about politics or ideas or, you know, things that are wrong and social justice, you know, things that we can do and be active about and to be activists about. You know, that's important to me, you know, and I think it's important to the listeners of Stage and Studio. 1-877-500-5266. Call now. We only need two more callers.
Two more callers. You have about 2 minutes to show.
Don't miss this opportunity. It's an exciting opportunity, but the time is running out. Yes, now, 877-500-5266.
Indeed. you need to call during the show to show KBOO how much you love this program and know it's the very best. Call 877-500-5266. Support arts and culture programming on the radio here in Portland. We do it more than anyone. And
we do.
Yes, that's totally. We've got the film show. We've got this show. Art Focus, Words and Pictures, Between the Covers, Black Book Talk, Talking Earth. I can go on and on and on. No one covers the arts programming like
KBOO
does.
More than
KBOO. Mm-hmm. And you value that. You value that.
877-500-5266. Right now, make the call. You'll feel so good.
Or KBOO.fm. Don't forget that for those of you who are online right now listening.
That's
it's so
right.
easy. It's so easy to fill out the form and show your support for your community radio station and for arts programming on your community radio station. 1-877-500-5266. I want to thank everybody who's joined us today and who has shown their support. And there is still time. I'll be waiting here for a few minutes. So give us a call. 1-877-500-5266.
Exactly. We have tickets. Call, become a member, $10 a month. It's easy, simple, and you support arts programming. 877-500-5266. And thank you so much.
Thanks.
Thank you all.
Thanks, everybody. And thank you, Dime, for that very special one-hour show. It was a real treat, and we're always delighted to hear all about the arts going on in the Portland area. Stage and Studio has been made possible by KBOO members and a grant from PD Expendables. Stage and Studio supplies. PD Expendables sells and rents to film and theater production, from gel and globes to paint and lights. Featuring the latest Airy LED lighting, they can be reached at 503-887-5880 or online at pdexpendables.com. It is 12 o'clock and you are listening to KBOO Portland. My name is Tave. I'd like to thank you for being with us. As always, KBOO members, your very generous support means so much to us. Please pick up your phones and dial us at 877-500-KBOO. That's 877-500-5266. Show your support. We've got maybe a few seconds left if you wanted those theater tickets. When the person picks up the phone, they'll be smiling and they'd be happy to take your name, and then you can just talk to them.